Hello, this is Kristen Bry, host of Spanning the State. Now, you might be listening to this thinking you're going to get a new episode of Spanning the State, but the sad news is that show has now come to an end. But the exciting news is that I have a brand new show that started today with Steve Scafidi called Point Taken, and you can listen to us live 10 a.m. to noon every day on 620 WTMJ. But if you're a podcast listener, you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Point Taken on Spotify, on Apple. Thanks for listening to the Spanning the State. I hope you enjoy the new show. And we'll catch you later.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Good morning, everybody. I leave for a few days. My pal, teammate Kristen Bry, alongside. And also, we have a new show.
New show.
Point Taken.
Here we are.
Which we're going to get to that whole process at some
at the end of today. Well, we have a first day short show, which is crazy
because
we got Brewers. So we're out at 11:35, but end of the show. So around 11:15, we have some other names that this show could have been called,
which are very clever and funny. Now, a lot of people that were responding to our posts about all the things that were happening on the station, which is there's significant changes, mostly in the hours. But this show is completely different. Now, Kristen and I, if you don't know, we do a podcast together. You need to listen, which is one of the best podcasts in America.
It is.
Yes.
People are saying.
And the one that's coming out this week on OnlyFans. And it's very spicy. So
not safe for work.
No.
Not safe for air.
Air quotes.
Thus has to be a podcast.
Be careful with where you're listening to that podcast. But anyway, so this is sort of, I think, a good natural transition to a new show where we can go after a lot of different things. But one of the things that I love about you, one, you make me smarter. Two, is you're not afraid to tackle these subjects. And it's not like unknown that you're more of a left-leaning.
Yes.
I'm more right-leaning. But we have these conversations that I think can bring, and it's an overused cliche, bring us together politically, which I think is still important.
It is still important. We're going to talk about a lot of different things as far as how you even broach those conversations when you don't agree, and including a pretty famous comedian who tried to do that with the president as of late. It's been interesting because this whole week as I was wrapping up Spanning the State and I'm reading the news every day, picking out the things that I was saving to be able to talk with you about.
Yeah, and I'm a big Bill Maher fan. I've seen him a couple times.
You've seen him live?
Yeah, at the MGM Grand, and watch his show real time. I think he's really good at sort of assessing where the country's at politically. Now, he sort of was a libertarian. He was left-leaning. He's sort of in the middle now. So it's sort of a surprising transition for Bill Maher as well. But we'll get to that one a little bit later in the show. But we're going to start after the break with, I think it's a significant story. And you asked me when I came in this morning, because I literally got off a plane at midnight, roughly around midnight, and didn't get to bed until about 1:30. And it's sort of a different adjustment coming back from like Las Vegas to this. I did not pay attention to the news.
Oh, good for you. You checked out.
But in the course of playing many, many hours of blackjack, and people find out what you do, because everybody asks about, oh, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. What do you do? Oh, radio. Really? Wow. What do you think about Trump? And I said, one of the things that drives me nuts about President Trump, and I'm not a supporter of the president, even though he's a Republican, is that he seems to be intent on doing whatever the hell he wants to, which is not generally something that reasonable, rational adults or politicians do.
Well, not only, I mean, it's the, they're increasingly treating court orders like suggestions.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe. And we're going to start with some of these questions. One is, I think it's Alberto Garcia. Sitting
Garcia
in a prison when a court has pretty clearly said he should not be in that prison. Now, they both sort of, both sides have said, well, it's out of our hands. Well, it's not really. You put him there. You sent him there. And it's part of a bigger story. That's one of them. AP, Associated Press, fought for the right to have one of their reporters in the press room at the White House. They won the case.
They won the case.
That has not happened. All right. So back to the sort of the overarching concept. We want your help.
Crafting the show.
Yes.
We want to hear from you. 855-616-1620. What do you want to hear from us? What do you want? Who do you want to hear from? Topics, guests. What do you want out of this show? Because all the other shows are new shows now. We're the one talk show. So getting to hear from you is going to be a big part of making this show a success.
And I love the fact that we can sort of get back to our roots, which is we do talk radio here. We used to do a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I was one of two, myself and Jeff Wagner, who's happily living a beautiful retirement life, golfing and doing a lot
relaxing.
Of things. probably eating at some great restaurants and having fun, relaxing, talking about politics still. He's still on Twitter if you follow him. But I think I want to look at these issues and topics from the perspective of what can we actually do that not only attacks these issues, things that we talk about like the economy and price of things and gas and groceries and all that stuff, or taxes or civil rights or gender issues, which you and I have talked about on the podcast a lot. But from a perspective where we have two people that are sort of different genders, obviously, different generations, different political ideologies or leanings, but have a real conversation about it. But we want you to be part of that. 855-616-1620. We're going to take a quick break here. After the break, defying gravity, defying court orders. What's going on here? Donald Trump, President of the United States. She's Kristen Bry. I'm Steve Scafidi. Point taken. Quick break.
Escape the city and relax at Lake Lawn Resort in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin. Enjoy outdoor activities on Delavan Lake, tee off at the Lakeside Majestic Oaks Golf Course, or unwind at the award-winning Caledora Spa. With both indoor and outdoor pools, there's fun for the whole family. Take a cruise on the Lake Lawn Queen, explore stunning shores and historic landmarks, and enjoy delicious food and drinks on board. Book your stay today at lakelawnresort.com, where everything is better at the lake.
Hey, this is WTMJ, Steve Scafidi for Avid. I have snoring issues, tossing and turning, restless nights of sleep. Not last night, slept like a baby. But that's because I went to Avid. I did something about it. Quick conversation, 30 minutes, talked to their docs. They put me at ease. We did a really simple sleep study at home in my own bed. We figured it out. Sinuses and nasal passages. Very common problem for people that have difficulty getting a good night's sleep. I went to Advent. Before I ever was a spokesperson, I was a customer and a client. And because of their procedure, real simple, half hour in one of their great offices, I'm sleeping through the whole night. I wake up rested and refreshed, ready to do this show. If you want to find out how breathing well and sleeping well can make your nights better, and you do, go to AdventKnows.com, schedule an appointment today. Do not wait. Because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Start at Indeed.com/credit. Enjoy the Fox and Hound Supper Club's all-you-can-eat Good Friday fish fry. All other dinners and desserts are buy one, get one free, even on Easter weekend. Near Holy Hill, reserve your free dinner today. FoxandHoundsRestaurant.com.
Find furniture for life from Ken Michaels Furniture in Brookfield, Greenfield, or downtown Milwaukee.
All right, whole day dedicated to us, not just Kristen and I, but all the whole team. How about this? This is going to be, I already had people ask me about this, by the way. It's dedicated to you, the WTMJ listener. Come celebrate WTMJ Day with us, your favorite host, Kristen, myself, all of the gang, at a private tailgate at the Brewers game Saturday, May 17th, which I will be there, and you're going to be there too, right?
I absolutely am.
All right, get more information, secure your tickets at WTMJ.com.
I know it rhymes.
Yes. Yeah, it does. WTMJ.J.
No, WTMJ.day.com.
My friends Jeff and Diana just said they're going.
Great.
So that's cool.
It'll be fun. Hopefully we get good weather.
Yeah, and tickets go fast. We'll see you at the ballpark for WTMJ Day, Saturday, May 17th, sponsored by the great folks at Woodman's. I have one right by my house. All right. Big, big topic on at blackjack tables, on my flights, talking about radio and what we talk
besides
about.
Besides how much Kathy won?
Which was significant. I'm not going to say the exact number because you never know who's listening. But she did win. She was a winner, which is a cool
thing. She deserves it.
But this is something that's been talked about a lot. I think it's the biggest story of the day when it comes to politics.
Well, it's absolutely the biggest story because it is what we've been teetering on, right? As far as what constitutes a constitutional crisis? And I feel like every lawyer you've had on your show, every lawyer I've had on my shows, as far as like once he defies a judge order, let alone the Supreme Court, here we are. And so, you know, the Trump administration is now facing new warnings from a federal judge over its refusal to bring home a man who it mistakenly, on its own admission, deported to the prison in El Salvador. So the judge told government lawyers that every day he's in prison is another day of irreparable harm. CBS News' Jared Hill has more from New York.
The federal judge blasted Trump administration lawyers for not doing enough to bring back the man they admit was mistakenly deported to an El Salvador prison weeks ago. ordering new depositions from several Trump officials. The latest chapter in the legal fight came one day after the president of El Salvador claimed he didn't have the power to send Abrego Garcia back. Trump officials argue any return would be short-lived.
Okay, just first reaction. Our president, their president, you have the power to do a lot of things. You can correct this
mistake.
Serious mistake.
But so now stop they're doubling down and just, they keep referring to him as a criminal despite having zero evidence of any any criminal charges.
Here's where the Republicans, some, and mainly conservatives, they are in step, in line with what President Donald Trump has said. We're going to take the criminals and get them out the hell out of the country. And that will have widespread public acceptance. But as I said all along, with all of this stuff, whether it's the efficiency stuff, whether it's going after these criminals, you got to do it right. If you want to find a criminal who's had a serious past history of doing things that are very, very illegal, no one's going to argue with
that. But even then, because I mean, in the meeting he had with the El Salvadorian president, they say it was on a hot mic, but then he doubled down on it. The interest of sending homegrowns to foreign prisons. And the thing that scares me, I mean, I'm going to be totally honest, as far as stepping into this show, which is much more political in nature, it allows me to have much stronger opinions on air. The only thing that separates any of us from being illegally imprisoned is due process.
I was going to say due process.
And the fact
words.
That we are entitled, and not just we as citizens, anyone who's in this country is entitled to due process. And the fact that we have, and it's not just the Maryland father, it is multiple people that they are, that like New York Times has started looking into, the people who have been sent to El Salvador, and some have only been charged with speeding in a school zone. Like, these are not gang members, and yet there they are. And that is bone chilling as far as the fact that we are disappearing people.
I said two words, due process. That's a big part of this. The other one, detail matters. So when you're going after these criminals, and I'm air quoting criminals, you got to make sure you have the right details, the right information, because you do not want to make mistakes on this stuff. And it sort of, on a higher level, points to the lack of research, data mining, all the things that look at every issue you're dealing with when you talk about government efficiency. On that one as well, you're not doing your homework. You're saying you're saving us all kinds of money, billions of dollars, but you're firing the wrong people, some that are critical employees of the country. Detail matters on all of these subjects. And due process, our country stands for something. And one of the distinct differences between this country and almost any other country in the world is we have due process, not just for citizens, but anyone who's here in this country. They have a right to be heard. And before you start sending people off willy-nilly across the world, or in this case, South America, you have to make sure you have the right person and they've actually are guilty of the things that you've accused them of. That does not go away because you don't like the person. They look like somebody you don't like, or you have these, you know, weird thoughts about how citizens should look in this country. That's a whole nother area of racism and crazy that I don't want to get into. But I think if you look at this story, it shows the lack of attention to detail, and that is so important. And there's another piece to this. AP.
Yeah.
Sued for the right to be in the White House.
Well, because I think there's the two pieces that I see as far as this story. There's the fearfulness as far as setting a precedent that if you say something, if you get out of line, we will deport you. We will, I mean, take away your student visas. There's all these things as far as falling in line and feeling like you need to bend the knee. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And there's that part of it. But then there's also the fact that the administration is, as I said before, taking court rulings as suggestions versus an equal branch of government. And I don't know which one we should be more concerned about.
Reading about this question of whether a president can do whatever they want. And we, you know, with the question of presidential immunity, it was decided last year, sort of. They threw it back to lower courts and said basically figure out official versus non-official. That has superpowered or supercharged this president to feel like he can almost do anything he wants. And when you have a system that's set up for courts to rule sort of the last arbiter of justice, but the executive branch says, I'll take it under advisement, I'll think about it. That is a constitutional crisis, because now who's the enforcer here?
Well, and that is the question, because when we come back, the oldest? Is Chuck Grassley the oldest person in Congress?
I'm going to Google it in a break.
At 91?
He's up there.
I think he is.
He's up there.
So he actually did have a town hall, and there's a video that came out of that yesterday that I think a lot of people are worried about this, including his constituents. So we will get to that after this on Point Taken. That old grass ain't greener.
Oh, good music choices there. I love that. Jazz producing this morning, Kristen Bry. Steve Scafidi. A lot of people have asked for this combination. You know this to be true, for this combination for a long time.
Yeah.
That's why we did the podcast.
Exactly.
Which is not going away, by the way.
No, the podcast is still going to be there. We're going to save the, should we say, saucier? The off-the-record, the uncensored conversations for the podcast, as far as not having, obviously, to break for commercial, some of the topics that maybe don't fall in the news of the day, but larger trends. And so our next episode's coming out tomorrow.
We did have to beep something from our Bill Maher piece coming
up. Well, that's because he's on HBO, or Max, as it's called now.
Max.
All right, so you said before, as far as who steps up now, if Trump and the Trump administration continues to defy court orders or drag their feet, does it not fall to Congress? Because while the Supreme Court is the final say, their actual ability to enforce things is pretty esoteric. It's basically in theory instead of actually having any kind of teeth, right?
We've never had this before where a president outright defies high courts.
So it seems like the pressure has to be on Republicans in Congress, because Democrats can do, I mean, someone else could stand up and do a 25-hour speech like Cory Booker, but what is that besides making you a little bit feel good? I don't know what that's going to do. And so the thing becomes, for the guys who are actually having, and women, who are actually having town halls, do you show up and put pressure on them? And that is exactly what happened in Iowa with Senator Chuck Grassley at a whopping 91 years old. And so this is a little bit from that town hall.
Are you going to bring that guy back from El Salvador?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, because that's not a power move. Congress.
The Supreme Court said to bring him back.
The judges are. And the president is upholding the Constitution.
He's defined the Constitution.
You're on the Judiciary Committee.
First, is that what an Iowan?
I think so.
Accent sounds like.
I thought it was drunk uncle at first. It sounded a little bit drunk uncle-ish. But look, grassroots protest resistance are how things change, right? Going all the way back to the beginning of this country, people said, we're not doing this. We're not letting a king tell us what we can do in our country. And people push back on that. And I think this is where this has to start. Look, I understand what the spin is by Republicans who save the tax, that these are Democrats showing up at a Republican member town hall.
How do I get some of that money?
How do you get that money?
Because they're all like paid protesters, right?
I guess. Yeah, whatever. But it doesn't make the point not valid.
But it also doesn't mean, just because whether they're not, they're Democrats, they're still constituents.
Everybody's a constituent.
Yes.
That's the thing that pisses me off. When you're elected to office, I know it's a very partisan process at the beginning, but at the end, everyone in your district has the right to say things. Democrats, independents, Republicans, they have that right.
But also, I don't understand, how is following the ruling of the Supreme Court a partisan issue?
It's not. That's the stupidity about this. That's why we're in uncharted territory, Kristen. This is why this is nuts. It's why I don't like Donald Trump, because he's someone that absolutely craves attention, social attention, social media attention. Oh, and by the way, the other guy that does that is Elon Musk. And guess
he's been
who,
a little quiet. He's been quieter since the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
I think he's mad that Bezos was getting some attention this weekend, this weekend, and the fact that he has almost like he's silent edged out, because I gave him a drop dead date of end of April. I feel good about that prediction.
You think he's getting kicked out, or he's just getting edged out?
Just sort of moved out of the way, because he's too much in the spotlight. He loves attention, just like the president does. What are we talking about next? Oh, Bill Maher.
We're talking about Bill Maher next.
I love this.
My brother sent me this over the weekend. So I used to be. I used to watch his show every week. And now I, like most shows, I catch the clips that go viral. But my brother sent me this. And if you've missed it, Bill Maher, longtime comedian. I mean, Real Time has been on for 20 years at this point.
Oh,
he had Politically Incorrect before that. But organized by Kid Rock. Who else? Kid Rock organized a dinner between Bill Maher, President Trump, at the White House. And on his show on Friday, Bill Maher had his book report as far as how that went down. So we have thoughts on that.
We've got thoughts.
We certainly do. And so, but before that, we gotta go to news, right? Who are we doing the news today?
I think it's Connie Weber, and I always love talking to Connie. Connie's so good at the local news, and she's going to be with us this morning, and I think Friday as well. Lots to talk about on the show today. Keep those texts coming.
Trump, Maher, and Kid Rock walk into the White House.
Yes.
It's not the beginning of a
hand
funny
in hand,
joke.
Or how's that work?
Yes. So if you are a Bill Maher fan, maybe you watch his show, but certainly he's been around long enough that you are aware of him and his political show. I mean, he has incredible guests on there. And I don't think you can, whether you like him or not, you can't say that Bill Maher is not smart.
No, he's very smart. He's very well read. And I have guest envy because he has the people that you want to hear talk about politics on his show weekly, most weeks.
And
he
then sometimes Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I don't really care about his thoughts.
Who seems to have been having some really big problems lately. Did you hear this audio tape of him going through an airport and he's like having a mental breakdown?
No.
Poor Ben.
You're more up to date on pop culture than I am.
Yeah.
All right. So this is making the rounds. And I care less about that Bill Maher specifically went to the White House and had dinner with President Trump. And the reason why this is news is because for years, like I said, he's had this show for two decades. Bill Maher has been very critical of Trump. Trump has, in exchange, been very critical of Bill Maher. In fact, when Bill Maher started his monologue, he had his staff print off all of the things Trump has said about him. And it's like 60 different insults. Then he had Trump sign it with his famous signature.
Which is awesome.
With the famous Sharpie.
Did he make that an executive action or order?
I don't know. Hmm. And so we want to play a little bit. It was a 12-minute monologue, so we're obviously not going to play the whole thing. But it brings up a bigger question as far as bridging the divide, having civil discourse, but with whom?
So MAGA fans, don't worry. Your boy gave me nothing. Just hats. Hats and a very generous amount of time and a willingness to listen and accept me as a possible friend, even though I'm not MAGA, which was the point of the dinner. My favorite part of the whole night was we were standing in the room. And he said, you know, I've heard from a lot of people who really like that we're having this dinner. Not all, but a lot. And I said, same. A lot of people told me they loved it, but not all. And we agreed. The people who don't even want us to talk, we don't like you.
It's a fascinating conversation. And I'm very divided
on this.
I know you are, because you and I did one of our episodes on our You Need to Listen podcast about is all politics personal? So here's where I think people will maybe see why this happened and maybe why he's speaking the way he's speaking. And I'll take it personal. I used to have meetings with constituents when I was a mayor, with people that
were you a mayor?
Yes, in Oak Creek. And people, they hated my guts. Like, literally hated my guts.
There's still people who hate your guts.
Absolutely. Thanks to the text line. 855-616-1620. But you know what? After the conversation, we still disagree, but they didn't hate my guts anymore. And I think that's part of what Bill Maher has achieved here. When you meet someone face to face, after talking about them, seeing them as this sort of iconic figure, and whether you want to use that term for Donald Trump is up to you, it changes the way you perceive that person. And again, this is me looking at it from 40,000 feet. It softens your harsh analysis and criticism of that person.
And certainly, right? I think most of the people on the text line who have ever said mean things to you or I probably wouldn't do that.
No,
in
they
person,
wouldn't.
Right?
I've met some of those
whole
people.
Keyboard warrior safety guard as far as I don't actually have to see your face and say these things to you.
Right.
So that is certainly true. And it's a lot easier to say mean things to people when you're not face to face. I got to interview Ambassador Linda Greenfield Thomas, or Thomas Greenfield. And she talked about that. She had a whole career of diplomacy, right? And she talked about the fact that, like, when she would sit down, especially with an adversary, she would always start with humanizing questions. And that to actually look people in the eye and know that they are a father, a mother, a daughter, a sister, right? And, like, and the value and power in that. My issue, and so I like this because I do believe in the having conversations with people you don't agree with And I do think as far as us as a country moving forward, when we're so divided, is having more conversations, not less, is going to help. But that's not necessarily with the person that we need to hold accountable, right? Like there is, and in, we spent the first half hour as far as the actual actions the president is taking of people, just students who are here legally, just getting taken off the street. We've seen it with the tough student in Boston. There's a lot of scary things right now. And Bill Maher addresses that in his, right before that clip. He says, your citizens are scared right now. People are scared. And like he doesn't even remember what the answer was as far as him saying that he's going to, Trump saying, I'm going to stop. And so my thing is this the person that we are going to demonstrate civil discourse with versus this being the most powerful man in the world that we need to hold accountable? And this is better used towards our friends and family that we disagree with.
Whatever person or persons you think would be a better conversation, those can still happen. Zero conversation is not going to accomplish anything. Some conversation could, maybe Bill Maher could appeal to the, again, not trying to psychoanalyze Donald Trump, the grandfather in Donald Trump, or the someone who's not necessarily, although he is a senior citizen older than us, how that his impact of his presidency is impacting all those people who are, you know, my age and older. That conversation has to happen. I'm always going to raise my hand for more conversation. I don't care who the principals are. The fact that we're
so
having,
you think
this,
it's a good thing that he went?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would choose that every day and Sunday.
Did you watch the whole clip?
I've seen most of it.
Okay.
About three quarters of it. And I love Bill Maher. I think he's really good. I've seen him in concert, performed in Vegas a couple times. He's brilliant at analyzing politics from a people's perspective. He is well-read. And frankly, I had this conversation with somebody in Vegas, maybe at a blackjack table, maybe some at a restaurant. This is something everybody talks about. Well, I want to read that book. And they never read that book. People talk about reading a lot. They don't read.
Yeah. I have read a list of books that I want to read. It's very long.
I had this conversation yesterday.
I have a kid and two and a half jobs.
That's a good qualifier. But I tell people, if you're interested in these things, read the damn book. I read a book on the trip to Vegas and the way back. I'm a quick reader. I can digest a lot of stuff. And I have a lot of books. And every book, I'm proud of this. I'm not patting myself on the back, although I might be. The books I have on my bookcase, I've read them. And you learn a lot by reading, and we don't read enough. And the fact that Bill Maher is well-read, took the time to have this conversation, is important. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, Kid Rock, who I happen to like. I like his music.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. And I've seen him perform
ball
live.
Ball to ball to bang bang diggity?
Yeah.
I think I just butchered
he's
that.
A hell of a piano. Yeah, you did. He's a hell of a piano
you
player.
Did?
No. I'm worse at it than you. All right. This is Point Taken. She is Kristen Bry. I am Steve Scafidi. We are just getting warmed up. Keep all those ideas coming because that's amazing. We are late for break. I know, Jazz. We are late for break. We will get there. She's all over me today. No, she's not. She's doing a great job as she always does. All right. Lots more to get to after this. I just let this play, man. This is good stuff.
You guys are missing out on Steve just headbanging in here. If you had more hair, you could really emphasize it.
We used to listen, believe it or not, what did she just say? If I had more hair? Kid Rock
hair? Kid Rock has a lot of hair.
He does.
You actually have a good head of hair.
Thank you for that.
You don't have Kid Rock hair.
Hey, by the way, did everyone see our publicity pictures for the new show? Pretty good.
You look pretty good.
Yeah.
All that with Milwaukee Weight Loss.
Milwaukee Weight Loss.
Really paying off.
Love that partner and still work. I still got 10 more pounds, which I'll lose in the next
few months. Goal was 50?
Well, 45, yeah, okay. So I'm good. I feel great.
You look great.
Thank you for that. You look awesome as well.
We do what we can. I got to start. With the new schedule, I'm hoping that I actually find time to work out
I will say this, even though we're talking politics, your appearance makes me want to look thinner.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a good motivator. If you're a little chubby, maybe I'd take it easy.
Even though this is radio?
This is radio.
All right, this is not the topic. So I guess I feel like last week it was all tariffs all the time in the stock market.
Still
and
is.
None of that has gone away.
No, still is.
But it feels the shifting news narrative is pick your topic. But I am interested if we really know what we're getting into as far as trying to go toe-to-toe with China. And I say this, I know I'm not the first one to make this joke, but having two Geminis not backing down from this, being Xi and Trump.
Yeah,
leader, and I say this as a Gemini.
Leader of two very important countries in this world.
We are stubborn. And I heard this clip from a China analyst was getting circulated, and it kind of made me feel like it's a reminder as far as how young we are as a country, and are we ready to really play ball?
China is fully prepared to fight to the very end because the world is big enough that the United States is not the totality of the market in the world. So if the United States wants to go in that direction of completely shutting itself out of the China market, be my guest.
Yeah, and China will lose the U.S. market, which, as I've said, is 15%.
We don't care. We don't care. China has been here for 5,000 years. Most of the time, there was no United States, and we survived. Right. And if the United States wants to bully China, we will deal with the situation without the United States. And we expect to survive for another 5,000 years.
He ain't wrong.
He's not wrong.
We got less than 250. Yeah. They got 5,000. And so they do not care what Donald Trump thinks about it.
And the truth is, they're the one country who I think, because of the tariffs that from the first Trump administration, has been preparing for this.
Oh, yeah. They're ready for us.
And the part, and again, it goes back to the details, right? As far as... My brother and I were talking about this over the weekend. When after the great financial crisis of 2008 and the different financial regulations that came down, they had deadlines that were a year, 2 years out for companies to prepare for what the regulations were going to be. And what's happening now with the tariffs as far as them starting in a week, in a couple days, not only the big companies, which now, again, Apple and some of the electronics right now are saved because their tariffs are on pause for consumer electronics, but all the small businesses that get a lot of stuff from China, and not just cheap stuff, like stuff that is made better there. And like how this is going to bankrupt some small businesses, I don't think we're prepared for.
It's where the reality of this whole thing falls apart. The president's, and I've listened to experts talk about this on podcasts, on radio shows, whatever. The president's gamble here is that he can accomplish by, you know, waving his bully pulpit or using his bully pulpit to sort of scare other countries like Canada, like, you know, Denmark or whoever you want, pick anybody with this tariff question, the EU and all those countries in Europe, is to sort of intimidate them. He is not going to scare China. They're not afraid of us. And, oh, by the way, neither is Vladimir Putin. He doesn't going to fall victim to that. And that's where this whole thing falls down. You're not going to scare those countries. They've been around longer. They're meaner. They're tougher. They're not going to give in to you. You may get some of the other ones. And I think there's some movement on Canada and Mexico. I hope that continues. That's where the president's gamble will fall apart. It's risky in any country. And the fact that you're blowing up our 401ks and our saving and investment with this stuff is something the president hopefully is listening to his advisors on, because they're hearing it. And all of those, oh, by the way, those senators, got to pay attention to that. But China will not be intimidated, and he will not win that argument with that leader or that country. All right. Last one to get to.
Point taken.
Boom. Oh, yeah. Point taken. The debut program. Thanks to all of you who are lots of texts today.
Lots of texts.
We got this one. As someone who holds degrees in both economics and international trade, I can tell you there will be no winners in this. We've already seen negative growth in the first quarter this year and are most definitely going to see it again for the second quarter, which means we are in a recession that hasn't been yet officially declared. The massive effect that these reckless actions taken by Donald Trump and the economies of other countries across the globe provides a very high likelihood of seeing something as bad or worse as the Great Depression of the 20s and 30s. I hope not, but it's scary. And I, again, not to make everything about Vegas, but I was just there, and one thing you do in Vegas besides gamble is have a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
Rich or poor, sometimes Vegas does that makes you poor. Left or right, whatever terminology you want to use, people are legitimately concerned about the value of their investments and their savings and the cost of all of these things. And for a president to mess around like this is risky business.
Well, it's also, I mean, I saw this, I hadn't realized this. The dollar has lost almost 10% of its value since the inauguration.
Significant. And you might be smart in real estate, but being a dummy in politics when it comes to the economy and all the rest is not a good thing. She's Chris and I'm Steve. Lots more to get to. Second half hour coming up.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bride.
Welcome back to hour two of the first show of Point Taken. We're going to get right into it because we got a Brewers game to get to at the bottom of the hour. So results of a brand new statewide poll that Platform Communications fielded last week are out this morning. And this is the first statewide survey of the state's political landscape since April's court race. So joining us now is Keith Gilks, who is the Platform Communications founder. Welcome to the show, Keith. You're our first guest on our new show.
Well, I'm honored to have that distinction. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so you're sampling all these people, all these takes on politics in Wisconsin. What are you showing? What's it telling us?
Well, not a surprise. The economy is the number one issue. And there's a lot of angst out there, if you will, with voters across the spectrum. You know, what you initially see is, you know, a viewpoint of what is the outlook, economic outlook of voters. And there's an overall feeling that 40% of them believe that the economy is going to get worse. And that's a very negative position to be in terms of what we've seen historically. So that number spiking, and that's going to mean important things for both parties as we head into 26 elections. And I know everyone's still tired probably from spring elections and doesn't want to be talking about fall elections, but you know, the election cycle is eternal now, so in modern politics.
So as far as what this means for state lawmakers and candidates for 2026, because it feels like so much of the uncertainty about the economy is at the federal level and with the Trump administration, what do you feel like is going to be the messaging that needs to come down from a governor's office of what they can do to impact the economy?
Everything, we kind of define this as pocketbook issues. It's all about what's going to end up happening to voters in terms of their family and their incomes and their budgets. You know, are there going to be potentially spikes in inflation? Are there going to be increased costs with goods that may become a result of the tariffs that the Trump administration are threatening to implement? You know, those are all going to factor into these increasing costs. And if you start having that set of increased costs on physical goods, but you also have inflationary costs, you know, we kind of are going to regress potentially. And so we're at a very delicate tipping point overall for the national economy here in the state. So you, as a elected official, especially the governor and the legislature, you're still going to bear some of that burden to help out, even if most of it truly is controlled at a national level. And what voters are going to be looking for is, what can you do as a state official to help ease their concerns on their pocketbook or kitchen table politics in terms of figuring out the family budget and how much things are going to cost and how are we going to deal with this and, you know, are we making enough money? Questions like that. That's what those elected officials are going to be asked to explain, what their positions, what their thoughts, and what their policies will be.
What do you think some of those options are for the legislature and for the governor? We know that they are crafting a budget. There's some commentary, including from my friend Bill McCosh, that suggests legislature might hold off until the ruling on the power of the governor's veto pen in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But given all that reality, what's something that the state, the governor, the legislature could craft that would ease that burden on the budgets of every household in Wisconsin?
Well, they have the number one thing they have is a wonderful amount of a surplus for the state budget to work with, which then lends itself to a conversation about where could you give tax breaks that would help those struggling families around the kitchen table. And that could come in the form of income tax and probably or property taxes, one or the other. They tend to be the two most important taxes that voters here in the state of Wisconsin are focused on. So in addition to understanding what the spending is going to be, I think the biggest thing that the elected officials in the course of this state budget are going to want to talk about is, how can they put more money back in the pockets of Wisconsinites at the end of the day?
Keith, one more question. So it was about 40% of Wisconsin voters expect the economy to get worse. 28% said they thought it was about to stay the same. And then 25% thought it was going to get better. Was there any commonality either with party alignment or other demographics as far as who that 25% is?
Yeah, of course. And what it amounts to is you're going to see a lot of overlap. Republicans have a much more optimistic viewpoint. 44% of Republicans think that the economy will get better.
Okay.
While you go over on the other side and look at the Democrats, 64% of them believe that the economy is going to get worse compared to the overall 40 that we saw in the poll with all voters. So Republicans are more optimistic that the, you know, the tariff war and the policies being implemented by the Trump administration are going to have a positive effect on the economy. Democrats are extremely pessimistic about those policies and their impact on their economic outlook. So, and then you go down to step two and talk about working class, middle class, that working class, which these are self-identified people.
Mm-hmm.
You let them decide to call themselves working class, but you expect them to be a little bit lower on the salary range overall. They have a very pessimistic view of 47% of the economy and economic outlook getting worse.
Wow.
So you can see where this is breaking down. In a polarized world that we live in Wisconsin and have been for a number of years, your view of the economy is tied to your view of the elected officials. It's all interconnected now.
He is Keith Jokes, founder and principal at Platform Communications. Let's continue this conversation down the road because this is certainly a timing, short-term pain, long-term gain. We'll see.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, point taken. We'll have a little fun after
the
break.
Fun. What the show could have been called after
right.
this.
Is this Croce?
I was going to say, this is like the most music we've come back with yet. Did I tell you that I woke up I was so excited about today and the start of the show.
Yeah.
I had the Chicago Bulls 1990s intro
yeah, you did share
in
that
my
with
head,
me.
And I couldn't, we can't do it on air because
no.
we would get sued.
It is cool, though. It does get you in the mood for excitement. It
gets you in the mood to work out.
Yeah.
Or, like, pump some iron.
Nothing like music to make you work out faster and better.
Actually. All right, mm-hmm.
So my public service announcement for today.
So naming things is hard.
Yes.
Naming shows is hard.
Podcasts.
Naming your children is hard.
Yeah.
Naming things is hard, I think. And as we knew this show was coming and trying to come up with a name, it's a little different than a podcast name because you say it more often. You say it every day. And so some of the ones that we were, you know, runners up. The runner up was Split Ticket.
Yeah.
Which I still really like. But apparently somewhere people don't like the word split.
Yeah, it suggests division. Yeah, I get it.
And I think it was more like they think of it as the word moist. A lot of people don't like that word.
I didn't make that connection, but you be you.
So some of the other options were politics aside.
Not bad, yeah.
Two sides.
Mm.
Riding the divide.
No. That's what are we doing? Ride surfing?
Breaking point.
I think there was a show called Breaking Point.
A lot of these shows have been, I mean, especially with podcasts now, a lot of these names have been
done. Well,
remember
how long it took to get to You Need to Listen?
I know. Politics Today, Crosstalk was definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Someone already pointed out on Twitter, Point Counterpoint.
And there was my brilliant idea, the Steve's Committee Show featuring Kristen Bryan, which quickly shot down.
Yeah.
Let's let everybody know that.
We actually won. We were also saying that, just Scafidi and Bryan.
Yeah.
But then
I like, actually.
It kind of sounds like a buddy cop comedy. Yeah,
which I'm good with.
Which we could have done that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes you go to AI to help you.
Oh,
and ChatGPT, I would say, was a little bit more reined in what they had suggested. But my husband, Mike, had asked Grok, so which is the AI on X.com.
On Twitter. Yeah.
And on Twitter. And so we thought we wanted to try some of them on to see what they sounded like. So we've invited our boss, Mike Spaulding.
I wonder why you were in here.
Some of the description as far as what the title could, you know, mean. So let's see what this first one was.
Geezer and teaser.
Oh, so I'm the geezer in that equation?
Geezer for the cranky old conservative. Teaser for the sassy young liberal who loves to poke at him.
All right, she's a liberal and she's sassy. So...
And I like to poke at you.
Let me, yeah, you do.
It fits.
The cranky thing, though, it sort of irritates me. I know that people have fun with that.
You're mad about that one. You're just wait till you hear the next one.
That's only, we got like five of these. So.
All right, whatever.
All right, so that was the first one. Geezer and teaser. No, you're not going to go
no,
with that one?
No, and just defending myself makes me cranky. So that's sort of self-serving there. Yeah.
Suspenders and selfies.
Suspenders for the old man's outdated fashion. selfies for the young woman's social media savvy liberalism.
I feel like these are all very complimentary of you, Kristen Bryan. Not so complimentary.
Surprising. It's
this
coming
is
from
Grok.
Yeah,
is Grok.
A little surprising.
This is not, I don't seems even like know someone what Mike, twisted Grok. Put in as far as what the premise of the show was.
Okay, I never wear suspenders, by the way.
All right.
So that's
you ready
true.
For the next one?
Yeah, sure.
Curmudgeon and cappuccino.
All right, sounds good. I love cappuccino.
You want to know the description?
Yeah.
Curmudgeon for the old grouchy conservative, cappuccino for the trendy, caffeinated young liberal.
I feel like I've been set up. Definitely set up on
these
this.
These are so terrible.
You're so bad.
There's no way that a general search would have given you ones that are always mean
to
me.
No, I think it was something similar. It's like there's a conservative boomer man as one host and a millennial. All of it's true.
How about a reasonable, rational Republican? Smart Republican.
Take it up with Grok. All right, two more.
Yesterday's right, tomorrow's left.
This one was my personal favorite one. Here's the description for Yesterday's Right, Tomorrow's Left, a play on time and politics. The conservative tied to the past, the liberal pushing toward the future.
It's not bad, but I'm more of a modern Republican. Not the Trumpian version of that, just someone who understands what conservatism actually should be. That's my take on that. Yeah.
All right. This last one really, the graphics department could have had a lot of fun with this one.
Bald eagle and pink flamingo.
Oh, that's just mean.
That's tough. Although, you know what? I honestly, all right. So bald eagle and pink flamingo. Bald eagle for the patriotic conservative old timer. There's always like a little dig in there at you. I don't know why.
Because the search was set up that way.
Pink flamingo for the flamboyant liberal free spirit. This was tough.
Yeah. Well, first of all, her husband did this. So now if I would do it, it would probably be vastly different.
Wait, Grok is free.
You know the worst one that it came up with? I know we weren't going to do this. Old Yeller and New Holler. One of the worst names I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a bad
dislike
name.
That one.
Do you
so
like
much.
The Point Taken?
Are we happy with Point Taken?
I love Point Taken.
Yeah.
Have you seen the podcast square?
Yeah, it's good.
It looks
good.
Great.
Looks great. And if you would like to see the podcast square, if you would like to subscribe to the podcast, you can text POINT to 855-616-1620, and we will send you the link to subscribe to the podcast.
And by the way, so I just got this. No such thing as a smart Republican. That's the problem. There are lots of smart Republicans and smart conservatives. We just have to figure out what that means in today's world with Donald Trump as president. That there's, trust me, I talked to everybody.
I have such a clean out for us to go to break.
All right, take it away.
Point, text POINT to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the link, and then we'll come back and start wrapping up our first show because Brewers are playing today. This is POINT Taken on WTMJ.
Love the music on the debut edition of Point Taken. Was Bossy in any of those titles?
Who would be Bossy? You or me?
You.
I'll take it.
All right. All right. So a lot of people have asked a lot of questions on the text line. Thanks for all the people and all those points that I'm seeing.
Yes.
Because if you want to
text POINT,
you want to just hear what we talked about today or any of our shows and segments are there, just text the word POINT, POINT, to 855-616-1620. Now, a lot
the
of people ask, yeah, the podcast, and You Need to Listen is also a podcast you need to listen to, literally why we named it that.
And then you text listen if you would like to get that. Tomorrow's episode drops right first thing in the morning,
yeah,
and it's about the rise of people putting themselves on OnlyFans.
Yeah, content creation battles pornography, sort of.
Not battles, is incorporated.
Yeah, so it's an interesting topic, and it might be one of our best episodes. All right, a lot of people ask about Bill and Joel. They're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
Matter of fact, Sopecki's going to join us tomorrow, actually.
Sopecki's going to be with us tomorrow. Bill and Joe will absolutely still be here Friday. Maybe we'll get even more than an hour with them. It kind of depends on their schedule, I think, any given Friday, as far as your ability to stay past that first hour. But we know how popular that is. I'm excited. I truly, one of my highlights of my week was always getting to catch the tail end of you guys as I was getting into work. And be able to talk, to see how spicy the show got.
Yeah.
How fiery everyone got.
And I'm biased, obviously, because I've worked with those guys for a while now. It is the best political conversation on radio, I believe, in our state, maybe even beyond that. People from all over the country have emailed me or texted me about that segment on Friday. It's the origin story of what I used to do, the Political Power Hour. And they are so good because going back to our earlier conversation about is all politics personal. We're all friends, mm-hmm. and you sort of joined our group, and one of the behind-the-scenes stories that I love to talk about with people is the fact that we text each other constantly now. Even when I was in Vegas, I'm reading you know, Kristen's comments and Bill's comments and Joe's comments about all things politics. I love that dialogue because I think that conversation sort of shapes what we can do on this show. Mm-hmm. The fact that we can have all these different viewpoints, a couple leaning left, a couple leaning way right, in case of Bill.
Sometimes it surprises you?
It does. And I think that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
And when you say all politics is personal, it is, because our lives, our personal lives, are certainly part of everything that happens in politics, whether it's gas and groceries, the price of that, whether it's policy. All those things matter individually. And we got four great people now going to be part of that Friday show. Love that.
So, yeah, so that's coming up Friday. But, yeah, tomorrow, maybe we'll do a little bit more Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yes, definitely some budget talk.
We did a lot of national stuff today.
Yeah.
Budget, the joint finance hearings are still happening right now as far as what they're hearing from constituents showing up. You've said that you've gone to one, right?
I've testified at one. Yeah, you wait a long time for not much talking.
How much time do you get to talk?
I think I had 2 minutes or something because there's so many people, and I believe I waited like 4 or 5 hours to speak for that little bit of time. But it's worth it. You know, you're it's on the record, right? So you're putting your opinion out there. I was talking about water and Waukesha, which I was very supportive of, and I'm glad that they've worked that out because that's the future of this area, right? That's a big part of what we are in Southeastern Wisconsin is the viability, the future viability of Waukesha and that city and the powerhouse that it is. And there's a lot of conservatives out there that at last time I checked as well, not to make it about politics, but water gets to everybody.
That is what the show's about.
It is. Did you like the first show?
I did. What grade would you give our first show?
A B+.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't start it with an A.
No.
Well, hopefully this is the worst show that we've ever done.
Yeah. Now, if you listen,
it can only get better.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the other stations, they give themselves an A+ every damn show. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, do you ever... There's no critical self-assessment. When I screw up, I admit it.
When's the last time you screwed up?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. I'll bring it back tomorrow. The thing that I screwed up the most on. Not making it too personal. Is that the question?
No.
All right, so we've got Brewers broadcast. Brewers, I think, are 9-9. No fear here. They started out, what, 0-4? So we're good. So that's coming up. Don't forget our great Brewers tailgate party, May 17th. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. WTMJday.com. Yeah. Get your tickets.
And Jeff and Diana told me they've got their tickets now. They're going to come out there. Somebody join me on our Tuscany trip. All that excitement, all that fun. That's what this sounds like. Kristen Bry, Steve Scafidi.